When you think of Jesus, I remember when I first started growing and just actually trying to understand who Jesus is. I mean, I heard Jesus Christ, and I thought his name was Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what I thought. I thought maybe his mother and daddy were Mr. and Mrs. Christ. I mean, I didn't know, right? I just didn't know anything. Well, I found out that Jesus is his name, and Christ is his title. And the word Christ means anointed one. It's the same as Messiah, Mashiach in the Old Testament, Christos, Christ in the New Testament. And so it means the anointed one of God. The Messiah, Jesus, is the anointed one in the Bible. Now I want you to think about this. In the Bible, Old Testament, there were three offices, three places or responsibilities that actually were anointed. Now, anointed, what they would do is they would take oil, and somebody was going to be put in a position of responsibility, they would take oil and pour it over their head, symbolic of God's power and spirit coming upon them to do whatever God has for them to do. The three offices that were anointed in the Old Testament were prophet, priest, and king. You think Elijah anointed Elisha. Poured oil over him to be the next prophet. A priest, when Aaron was the king, was the priest, he anointed his son to be the next priest, and they anointed the next sons to be the priest. And then the king, when Samuel anointed Saul as the first king of Israel, Samuel also anointed David as the second king of Israel. So three offices, a prophet, a priest, and a king, all were anointed. Now, the anointed one in the Old Testament, or the anointed one, is called the Messiah, and that has all three offices, prophet, priest, and king. That's Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the prophet. He not only speaks the word of God, he is the word of God. He's the priest who offered the final sacrifice for sin forever, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that's who Jesus is. Now, I want you to understand something, that nobody in the Old Testament ever had all three offices. Some people might be a prophet and a priest, but nobody was a prophet, priest, and king. Somebody might be a king and a priest, but nobody was a prophet, priest, and king. So nobody had all three offices. That's why the anointed one of God would be the only one to have all three offices. Well, this morning we're going to meet a man who was a priest and a king, and his name was Melchizedek. So he has two of the three offices, but not all three. So he is called Melchizedek. So who is this man? When did he live? Where did he live? Why did he live? Why is he strange? Okay, because we're looking at him as a strange passage. Why is he strange? Okay, so let me give you a kind of a little outline here. Just three questions, basically there are three things. Who was Melchizedek? Melchizedek, we're going to talk about as a type of Christ. We'll see what that is. And then Jesus Christ's priesthood was after Melchizedek. Now, that's going to be the part that's a little bit hard to teach. And so I want you to be able to follow it, hopefully. And that's why if you got questions or comments, we'll help you see through that. Let's start with who is this Melchizedek guy? Genesis 14. Look at verse 17. That's where we are. He's only mentioned three places in the Bible, basically. He's mentioned in the book of Genesis for a few verses. He's mentioned in the book of Psalms, and then he's mentioned in the book of Hebrews. So that's the only time he's even mentioned in the Bible. Now, let me remind you what happened. Abraham had a nephew named Lot. Lot was kind of, he was bad. I mean, he was a believer, but he was bad. And the herdsmen were fussing and fighting. And so Abraham, being the great man that he is, he went to Lot and said, listen, we can't fuss and fight like this. You look around and pick anywhere you want to go. You go there, I'll go this way. We don't need to argue. So Lot looked around and he looked at a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was well-watered plains. It looked beautiful. He said, I'll take that good area over there. And Abraham said, go ahead. Well, as you know, Sodom and Gomorrah were real bad. But while they were there, a group came in and captured Sodom and Gomorrah and captured Lot. Abraham took 318 of his soldiers. Abraham had men. He took 318. They went and attacked these people that got Lot. They defeated him, and they saved Lot's life and brought him back. Okay, look at chapter 15, verse 17. Then after his return from the defeat of this long guy, the Chalaranderer, the king who was with him and the king of Sodom came out to meet him and all of that kind of stuff. Right after that, notice, and verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. Now I want you to understand when this is. This is the time of Abraham. You remember after Abraham was Isaac, and after Isaac was Jacob, and after Jacob was Joseph, and then they went into captivity for 400 years, and when they came out was Moses, and after Moses then became the priesthood of Aaron. This is 500 years before there was a priesthood in Israel. But this man is called a priest of the Most High God. My first question would be, how did he know? Well, from Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel and Seth and to Noah and all these people, the message of Jesus Christ, or the Messiah, has been passed on. So here is a man. We meet him. Notice what it says. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now, he was a priest of God Most High. Now, let's talk about who he is. He's the king of Salem. Now, it says he brought out, what did he bring out? Bread and wine. Now, does that remind you of anything, bread and wine? Lord's Supper. When Jesus, at that last night, basically Passover, what did he give? This bread is my body, this wine is my... Okay, bread and wine. This guy brought out bread and wine. And he is the king of Salem. But where is Salem? Anybody know what Salem is? Look, he's Melech. Melech means king. Zadok means righteousness. He's the king of righteousness, and he's the king of Salem. Salem comes from the word shalom, which is the word for peace. Now, do you know where Salem is? How about Jerusalem? Salem is the forerunner of Jerusalem. Jerusalem means Jehovah's peace, or God's peace. So this man is a king of Jerusalem. It's not called Jerusalem at that time. It's called Salem. And he's a king of righteousness. And he's also a what? Besides being a king, what is he? He's a priest. And he's a priest of a false god? No. Look what it says. He was the priest of the Most High God. I want you to see that. This man was a priest of the true God. So at the time of Abraham, out of the blue, nothing is mentioned of this man before, and actually we're going to see nothing afterwards. Abraham comes back from the victory. He's got everybody with him. The king of Sodom comes and says, thank you for saving our lives. You know what Abraham said to him? I don't want to have anything to do with you because I know what kind of person you are. And he wanted to give Abraham money. And Abraham said, I don't want you to give me any money because I don't want anybody to think that you made me rich. The only person that makes me rich is God. I don't want to have anything to do with you. So then he left the king of Sodom, and all of a sudden, here comes Melchizedek, the king of Jerusalem, the king of peace, the king of righteousness. And what is he bringing? Bread and wine. So this is a special man. This is before, by the way, just remember, this is long before there was any Mosaic law. Mosaic law is what set up the priesthood and the tribe of Levi to be the priest. So this man is out of the blue, right? What do we know about this man? What's his background? What do we know? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Okay? The best we know is a believer in the true God because he's a priest of the Most High God. Look what he did. Verse 19. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, professor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemy into your hand. He gave him a tenth of all. Now, the he there is Abraham. Abraham gave Melchizedek one tenth of all. So they took a bunch of spoil. They had a big victory, and they had all this stuff that they got from the people they defeated. And they said, give a tenth of this to Melchizedek. Now, just an amazing story. And by the way, after that, no mention of him again. On the pages of Scripture in the Old Testament, he is never mentioned again except in the Psalms, and that's a little different thing. So we don't know anything about this man. He was a great man. Abraham gave him a tenth. He was a king and a priest. So let me show you something. Who was this man? He was the king of Jerusalem. He was a priest of the Most High God. He was the king of righteousness. He was the king of peace, and he blessed Abraham. Now, let me ask you something. Who does he sound like? Huh? He sounds a little like Jesus because is Jesus the king of Jerusalem? He is. Because Jesus is the king of kings, Lord of lords. Where's this kingdom going to be? Jerusalem. Is Jesus really the high priest of the Most High God? He is. Is Jesus the righteous? Is Jesus the peace? Is he the prince of peace? It's just amazing who this guy is. So some people want to say right now, oh, that man may be Jesus. Some people think he might be. We'll talk about it. So let's see who Melchizedek was. Melchizedek was a type. of Jesus. Now, let me explain something to you. If you don't understand what a type is, a type is something that happened in the Old Testament that was a foreshadow or a picture of something to come. Okay, that's what a type is. A type is an illustration of a truth to come. Let me give you an example. The Jewish people at the time of Moses were in Egypt. Is that right? They were in bondage in Egypt. God wanted to bring them out. What did he do? He told them to go get a lamb and kill the lamb. Put the blood on the door and wait in the room. In the middle of the night, the angel is coming over, and every home that has the blood on the door, he will pass over. That's why it's called the Passover lamb. Any blood house that doesn't have the blood on the door, the firstborn is put to death. So what happened that night? They took the Passover lamb, they killed it, they put the blood on the door, they ate the Passover lamb, they waited, and they came out of Egypt. That Passover lamb is a type of Jesus Christ. How? Because later on, when Jesus Christ has what we call the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, it's actually Passover, and he makes a change. He says, whenever you think of Passover, you think of this lamb that's, you know, but from now on, think about it. This bread, that's my body. This juice, that's my blood. I'm the Passover lamb. I'm going to deliver you from the bondage of sin. And Jesus Christ was up on a cross, the blood in 2-3 different places, just like on the door. And Jesus is the Passover lamb. And if you read Corinthians, when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, our Passover lamb, Jesus, was sacrificed for us. So a type is a foreshadow of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you that Melchizedek is a type of Christ as far as the priesthood is concerned. Let me show you this. He is this priest. This priest in Genesis 14 was a foreshadow of the priesthood of Christ. Okay? Now let me show you something. I want you to realize that I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. So go almost to the back, you know, way far to the back of the Bible, and I want you to see something about this. I want to make sure everybody gets there because you got to read this because it won't make sense if you don't. Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3 where the writer of Hebrews tries to tell us who Melchizedek is. Okay? Okay, everybody's there. Here we go. Look at chapter 7. He says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, what's that? Jerusalem. King, a priest of the Most High God. So he's a what? A king and a priest. He met Abraham as returning from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed him. He blessed Abraham, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, he is king of righteousness, that's Melchizedek. He's also the king of Salem, which means king of peace. That's who he is. He's the king of Salem and the king of peace. So that's who this man is. Now, verse 3 is going to bother you. Because it's now talking. Now listen, it's talking about the priesthood. Look what verse 3 says. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. What are we saying there? If you were of the tribe of Levi, and your father was a priest, would you become a priest? Yes. The only way you could be a priest is your father passed it down to you. That's from the tribe of Levi. That's Aaron on down. Now, Melchizedek, there's no father or mother mentioned. There's no genealogy mentioned. He's not saying that the man had no mother or father. He's saying his priesthood, there was nobody to pass the priesthood down to Melchizedek. And look what it goes on to say. Melchizedek was a priest, and it says, without genealogy, without the beginning, the priesthood had no beginning. The priesthood has no end because we don't know anything that happened to him. He says, made like the Son of God. If you look at it carefully in the Greek, he's not saying he's Jesus. He's saying he's like Jesus. So he's not Jesus. He's like Jesus. How? Now, let's talk for a minute. Did Jesus' priesthood, did his father pass the priesthood down to Jesus? No. In fact, what tribe was Jesus from? Judah. What tribe were the priests from on earth? Levi. Jesus' father, earthly father, let's put it that way, even though he wasn't his real father, what tribe was he from? What tribe was Joseph and Mary from? Judah. It has to be Judah. Okay. Was Jesus' priesthood passed down to him from his father? Was Melchizedek's priesthood passed down to him from his father? No. Does Jesus' priesthood have an ending? No. Does Melchizedek's priesthood have an ending? We don't know what happened. It never explains it. So he's just using this as an example. So what I want you to see, take your little handout, and I want you to see something here. Look at Melchizedek as a type of Christ. Look on that side. Everybody got it? Look what it says. It says, was Melchizedek a king and a priest? Was Jesus a king, priest, and a prophet? Yes. Was Melchizedek from Salem or Jerusalem? Was Jesus from Jerusalem? Was Melchizedek a king of peace? Is Jesus Christ the Prince of Peace? Was Melchizedek righteous? Was Jesus righteous? Was Melchizedek a man? Was Jesus a man and God? Did Melchizedek have an unending priesthood? The answer is what? Yes. Does Jesus have an unending priesthood? Yes. Is Melchizedek from the tribe of Levi? There wasn't any tribe of Levi. There wasn't anybody. There was just Abraham. Then you're going to get Isaac. Then you're going to get Jacob. Then you're going to get those tribes. Was Jesus from the tribe of Levi? No, he's from the tribe of Judah. Was Melchizedek superior to Aaron? The answer is yes. Was Jesus Christ superior to Aaron? The answer is yes. And what did Melchizedek give? Bread and wine. What did Jesus give? Bread and wine. So I want you to understand that this man, his priesthood is a foreshadow of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so when you start thinking about that, you go, oh, wait a minute. Now, we're going to get to it in just a minute. Why in the world did Jesus have to have a priesthood after Melchizedek? Why did he have to even have this priesthood? So that takes us really to this number three section, his priesthood is the same. Jesus' priesthood is the same as Melchizedek. Why? Before the law, before there was a Mosaic law, the father in the family acted as a priest. Now, he was not necessarily the priest. Job offered sacrifices for his own family. Abraham offered sacrifices for his family. So that before the law, the father was the priest. But when God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, he set up and picked the tribe of Levi to have the priest. And the descendants of Aaron were the priest. Now, the tribe that did the sacrifices on the earth were from what tribe? Levi. Okay? And they offered sacrifices that covered sin. All the priests covered sin. Jesus Christ came as our great what? High priest. But was he from the tribe of Levi? He's from the tribe of Judah. Could Jesus, let me ask you this question. I want you to think about it. Could Jesus, as the Son of God, on this earth, did he go into the temple? Did he go into the temple? Did he turn over the chairs in the temple? Could he have gone into the holy place and the Holy of Holies? Could Jesus have gone into the holy place and the Holy of Holies? What's your answer? No. You know why? Who are the only people that could go on the earthly tabernacle into the holy place and the Holy of Holies? Those from the tribe of Levi. If Jesus would have gone into the temple on earth, he would have violated the scripture. So Jesus could not serve on the earthly priesthood in the tabernacle. He served in a heavenly priesthood in a heavenly tabernacle. And what is that priesthood called, which is the heavenly tabernacle? The heavenly priesthood. Which one is it? What is it? It's Melchizedek. Does that not make sense? Did you miss it? Earthly priesthood, tribe of Levi. earthly priesthood, heavenly priesthood, tribe of Judah. This is called the Aaronic priesthood. What's this priesthood called? Melchizedek. Because Melchizedek was a foreshadow. Okay, does this make sense?
What is Aaronic?
Aaron. Aaronic. This is the priesthood from Aaron. This is the priesthood from Melchizedek. Jesus couldn't be from Aaron because he's not from the right tribe. Jesus is, in a sense, from Melchizedek because he's from the tribe of Judah, and they couldn't serve on the earth. They can only serve in heaven. That's Jesus. Does this make sense? Anybody? Okay, because you're going to have time to offer questions in just a minute because we're not going to go a whole lot longer. Okay, so this priesthood, Jesus' priesthood, is not after the order of Aaron, which is the tribe of Levi, which is earthly, but after the order of Melchizedek. Now, this is what's weird. So out of the blue, in Genesis 14, God gives us a person named Melchizedek who is actually a foreshadow of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That's long before there was Aaron and the priesthood and Levi's and the temple and a tabernacle. That's long before that. So I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 5. Look at this just for a second. Hebrews 5, verse 5. He's talking about Jesus and his priesthood. The writer of Hebrews said, Christ did not glorify himself as to become the high priest, but he who said to him, you're my son, today I've begotten you, just as it says in another passage, you are a priest forever. Who's he talking to? Who is a priest forever? Jesus. Notice what he says. You are a priest forever according to the what? The order of Melchizedek. Look at chapter 6, verse 20, okay? Look at chapter 6, verse 20, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so what you got to see is that the Bible is so strange that he takes a guy that nobody even knows who he is. He's a king priest of Jerusalem. He's a foreshadow of Jesus. And God takes that man and says his priesthood will be the priesthood of Jesus Christ some 1,500 years later when Jesus comes as the priest. Unbelievable. Do y'all see this? It's amazing. Okay, now I want you to see something. The priesthood, God, that he makes a change. The writer of Hebrews is going to tell us how the priesthood of Levi is not good enough because it didn't do the right things, but the priesthood of Jesus and Melchizedek is what's good. So I want to show you something. In chapter 7, verse 11, he says the Levitical priesthood, if the priesthood through the Levitical priesthood, if it was perfect, you wouldn't need another one after the order of Melchizedek. He's saying if Aaron's priesthood worked, you wouldn't need one after Melchizedek. And then he says the law made nothing perfect. Why? Why couldn't the law make something perfect? How come the law couldn't make us perfect? Because the sacrifices, what did they do? They covered sin. They can't pay for sin. Can an animal sacrifice pay for our sin? No, it made nothing perfect. How many Levitical priests were there? Tons and tons and tons. Why do you have to keep having more priests? Because they kept dying, right? Right? Jesus lives forever. That's why you only need one priest after the order of Melchizedek. And chapter 7, verse 27 says, the Levitical priests offered many sacrifices, but Jesus offered one sacrifice for sin forever. Now, look at the other side. We already looked at the side that says Melchizedek was a type of Christ. Look at the other side that says a comparison of the priesthood. And we're going to compare the earthly priesthood, which is Aaron and the tribe of Levi, with the great high priesthood of Jesus Christ, which is after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, watch this. We'll see it and then we'll open up for questions. What tribe was the earthly priesthood from? What tribe was Jesus from? Did the priest sin? Did Jesus sin? No. Did they serve on the earth? Did Jesus, he what? Couldn't serve on the earth. Okay. Did they offer sacrifices, many of them? Did Jesus offer one sacrifice? Did they carry the blood into a man-made tabernacle? Answer is yes. Jesus carried his blood where? To a heavenly tabernacle. Were there many priests? Why? Because they died. He's one priest because he's eternal. The Levitical priests were after order, after Aaron's order. Jesus is after who? Melchizedek. The priest in the Old Testament, their sacrifices only covered sin. Jesus paid for sin. Now, I know this is a complicated one, and that's why I kind of saved it toward the end. I thought about not even doing it because it's such a hard thing. But here's what I want you to see, and then we'll open for questions, or I'll kind of give you a quick review. But here's what I want you to see. Melchizedek was a king priest from Jerusalem. He actually was a foreshadow of Jesus. Jesus, as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, offered the final sacrifice for sin forever. So what you see is that God had a plan to save mankind. When he chose the nation of Israel and set them apart, he picked one tribe, Levi, to act as the priest, to cover sin, to be foreshadows of what God was going to do. But even before he picked Levi, he got this man named Melchizedek, who is a king of Jerusalem, a king of peace, a king of righteousness, who had a priesthood that had no beginning and no end, and he picked him to be a foreshadow of Jesus. And so when Jesus came as the priest, he didn't come after Aaron and Levi because he wasn't from that tribe. He couldn't serve on the earth. He could only serve in heaven. And so Jesus, like Melchizedek, has an unending priesthood. It didn't come from a father. It had no beginning. It has no end. He serves as a priest forever. And when he offered his sacrifice, it wasn't in the temple. It was on a cross, and it didn't cover sin. It paid for sin. And so Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, let me show you something. The writer of Hebrews, he wanted to talk. He's writing to believers who have turned away from the truth and they've gone back under the Mosaic law and they're not doing well at all. And he writes them a letter. And when the writer of the Hebrews, who we don't know what is, he says, being designated as God, he talked about Jesus being a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then he stops in the letter and he says, concerning Melchizedek, we have a lot to say, but it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. He tells these believers that I'd like to tell you all about Melchizedek, but you're stupid because you've turned away from God. You're not listening to the Bible anymore. And so I'd like to explain it to you, but you are too dull to listen to it. That's what he's saying. And he goes on to say, by this time you ought to be teachers, but somebody needs to teach you again. You're acting like little babies is what he actually says to them. So today, if you can't understand what we talked about, never mind. No, I don't want to say that. And that's not true because we're not dull of hearing. We're in here trying to pick it up and to get it. So let's stop for a second. Questions, comments, input, anything. Jonathan?
What's her cousin?
Well, they say cousin, but Mary was from the tribe of Judah, not from the tribe of Levi.
I thought her kinship.
She has some priests didn't always have to marry within their own tribe. So he's exactly right that Jesus fulfilled two aspects. He came as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords from the tribe of Judah, being the descendant of David. He also was the great high priest who offered the final sacrifice for sin forever, and that goes back to Melchizedek. Now, Mary had relations and cousinship with Elizabeth, but Mary wasn't from the tribe. If you look at Mary's lineage, she's from the tribe of Judah as well. So Jesus' mother wasn't a Levite. She was from Judah. But that's a great point. What else? Somebody had their hands up? Yes. Okay. Okay. It says Jesus was made perfect. That doesn't mean Jesus wasn't perfect. That means in his humanity, he fulfilled his role. The word perfect is telos, which means completion. We would actually say it this way. Once he completed everything he was supposed to do, he became to those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Sometimes the Bible will say, be perfect as I am perfect. We go, well, I can't be perfect. Well, the word perfect there doesn't mean without sin. It means complete. It means fulfill whatever you're supposed to do. Teleos is the word that means it's finished. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, telestai, which means it is finished. It was what they wrote on the bottom of a bill. You paid the bill in full. They wrote at the bottom, but they put telestai, paid in full, meaning it's complete or it's mature, it's over, it's done. And so when they call Jesus having been made perfect, or it doesn't mean that he wasn't perfect. He always was perfect. It's just saying he brought to completion what God brought him to do. Great stuff. What else? What other? Any input, questions, anything about Melchizedek or anything? We still got some time. Do you think you got it? Who was this Melchizedek? He was just some man out of nowhere who was a king priest of Jerusalem, and he's actually a foreshadow of Jesus because he's a king, because he's a priest. He's Jerusalem, righteousness, peace. He had a priesthood, and his priesthood had no beginning or no ending because there's no record of it. And then we see Jesus, who is a king and a priest from Jerusalem, and his priesthood had no beginning and no ending because it wasn't passed down. He's an eternal priest, and so his priesthood is after Melchizedek, not after Aaron or not after Levi. That's what the whole point of this is. So if you said, who is this Melchizedek guy? We'd say, we have no idea, except he was a king priest of Jerusalem at the time of Abraham, and God used him as a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, a type of Christ. Huh? So what's amazing is that he blessed Abraham, which usually means this. The writer of Hebrews says, who's the greater one? The one getting blessed or the one doing the blessing? Who's the greater one? If I said, bless you, my son, who's the greater one there? The one doing the blessing, not the one getting blessed. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham. That means Melchizedek was considering himself superior to Abraham. Who is Abraham? He's the first Jew. He's the father of the, we'd say, God, he's about the most important one we ever know about, you know. Well, Melchizedek didn't think that. Melchizedek said, bless you, my son. I was going to say something else, but let's go there and then there. Yeah. I can't hear you. Okay, this is a great thing. There is a temple in the heavens, and the tabernacle and the temple on earth was patterned directly after a tabernacle and a temple in the heavenly places. The only thing we know, the role is this. The Bible tells us that when Jesus died, Jesus took his blood into the holy place in the heavenly places and poured it out as the payment for the sin of the world. It says that in the book of Hebrews. Okay, we don't really grasp it all. We know that he couldn't take his blood and put it on the earthly tabernacle because he can't go in there. But the heavenly tabernacle, which the earthly one was designed after, it says that Moses got the design from God. It was the place in which the final sacrifice for sin was offered. That's the best I can understand. And there's got to be more to it, but that's what we know from the writer of Hebrews. That help at all? Okay, do you have a question? Yeah, great question. Did Abraham and Melchizedek know each other prior to this? Were they friends? Were they close? Well, Abraham, if you remember, Abraham came into the land and he came to a place called Bethel, and then he settled at a place called the Oaks of Mamre, best I can remember, it's about 50 to 60 miles from Jerusalem, which was Salem at that time, which was not a gigantic place, and sure not a capital of anything. So it's possible that Abraham and Melchizedek knew each other before this, but it gives no indication of that. All the indication here is that after they came back from this victory, suddenly Melchizedek appears on the scene and blesses Abraham. So we don't know. They could have been friends. They could, they could have known each other. Somebody could have said, you ever heard of that guy over in Salem? He'd go, oh, yeah, Abraham, see, I know him. And Melchizedek could have said, oh, yeah, Abram? Yeah, I know Abram. Hi, Father. Yeah, he's, yeah. So we don't know for sure. There's no connection before this, and there's nothing ever mentioned again after this. Just these few verses, that's the only mentions. That's a great question. What else? Anything else? He's the king of a city. Back in those days, they weren't kings of countries. They were kings of countries later on, but they were city-states. They were cities. And so there was a king of Jerusalem. There was a king of Bethel. In this passage, if you read 14, five kings of five cities attack four kings of four cities. And so in that day and time, if you ruled your city, you were called the king. So he was the king of Salem or the king of Jerusalem.